Our gospel lesson for this Palm Sunday comes from the Gospel of Matthew. This narrative occurs in all four Gospels, but this year we read Matthew's version. Chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. These are familiar words probably to most of us, but as you hear them, listen for something new that's being spoken into your life and into your heart at this particular point on your journey of faith. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay. I know what you're thinking. You're saying, this could be bad. This could be bad. This could be very bad, catastrophic even. You see, it's been 2.5 months since Jay last preached. He's out of practice. You know, what if he loses his place? What if he says something inappropriate? It could be very bad. It could be very bad. Well, friends, if that's what you're thinking, if that's what you're thinking this morning, let me assure you, you're absolutely correct. You know, I am out of practice. I could lose my place. I might say something inappropriate. And this could be bad. Very, very bad. So just hold on. Just hold on. Okay. Let's get on with it. Today is Palm Sunday. And you knew that. And I love Palm Sunday, especially this particular Palm Sunday. This is my 30th Palm Sunday here. 30th Palm Sunday with you here at Pleasant Grove. And it has to be the sweetest. Yeah. Oh. Thank you. Today is Palm Sunday, and Palm Sunday is about festivity and joy and exuberance. And that's exactly what I'm feeling as I stand here before you today. Festive and joyful and exuberant. It's a parade after all. There's singing and there's marching, there's waving and cheers. There's even a grand marshal. A smile comes to my face when I just think about it. When I think about it, I picture a beautiful spring day, much like this today. A light breeze, throngs of happy folks just waving and cheering. I've pictured this scene for decades, ever since I was a kid, but it never gets old. It never gets old. Today is Palm Sunday. Today is about a parade. It's about woohoo. Look at us. We're with him. That's our man. Hey, Jesus, over here. Friends, how great is that? That's what's going on today. That's what we're celebrating this morning. And you know what? This celebration, as far as I can tell, hinges on three little words. Three little words that are found in the penultimate verse in today's text. And I would guess that most of the time it just slips by us with no consideration as we move through a very familiar story. But I think it's central to what we're doing here. In fact, I think it's essential to what we're doing here week after week, year after year. It's in verse 10. Hear the words again. When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" Three words. Who is this? So, friends, the bottom line is this, as far as I can tell. As we kick off Holy Week in this air of jubilance and celebration, the question posed to us is a simple one. And it gathers up the meaning of the season for us, the meaning of the last 40 days. Who is this guy? Who is this guy? And maybe a bit more direct might be this. Who is this guy to me? And I would suggest to you That is a question that we ask and then answer every single day of our lives. We answer when we speak to one another, whether it's in our home or it's at work or it's in a traffic jam. We answer in what we do, how we interact with other children of God. We answer this question through the litany of what we value, the priorities of our lives. Who is this? Which, of course, leads to a deeper question that gnaws at me day after day. How does this one from Nazareth, who so challenges the prevailing view of life and faith, change my life and change it fundamentally so that I am able to find a significant depth of meaning for my life? Friends, that's where I am today. That's where we are today. It's Palm Sunday. Who is this guy to you? Who is this guy to us? These have been strange days. These have been strange days for me and my family. And they have been strange days for you and this community of faith. For all the trouble and grief I have caused you, I apologize. I apologize. As I stand here in this pulpit, daring to preach once again, I am overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed with feelings of gratitude and apprehension and guilt and humility and insufficiency and thanksgiving. And I've been trying to rehearse in my head what I was going to say to you today. But I've struggled with the content. And I keep coming up short. Who is this? Those gathered along the route, the ones waving palm branches, and the ones who threw their garments down before him, they knew the answer to that question. And they cried out, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." In other words, blessed is the one who brings grace into this world. Blessed is the one who extends the touch of God into our lives. Blessed is the one who incarnates the sacred in this place. Benedictine monk Albert Holtz recalls his sabbatical travels that took him across Italy. He writes that one day as the train he was on traversed the Italian countryside, he had this strange sense of deja vu. I know this place, even though I've never been here before. Those odd green cypresses that look like green feathers, and the little river that winds along among castle-topped hills. And he thought about it, and suddenly he realized what was going on. He said, "I realize that I have been looking at these scenes my whole life. I've been looking at them in the background of famous paintings by the likes of Michelangelo and Raphael and Leonardo." And he goes on and says, "Their paintings are so much a part of our religious imagery that we take it for granted that Mary visited Elizabeth in an Italian villa with cypress trees in the background. The wise men brought their gifts to an Italian bambino lying in the courtyard of a Tuscan house. And that all the biblical characters wore Renaissance dress." Well, you've seen the pictures. Well, after making this observation, Holtz doesn't dismiss the Florentine masters for their artistic anachronisms. No, quite the contrary. No, instead, he applauds their theological insight. He says, "You see, they figured it out. They placed profound historical grace events within their unique setting, within their lives." And obviously, they weren't the first to do it. Centuries earlier, St. Benedict, he wrestled with the same idea in his Rule for Monastic Living. And he encourages monks to, quote, "Always be mindful of the presence of God." Always mindful of the presence of God. And of course, we can look back further. Back up to a dusty road leading down a Judean mountainside on a spring morning in the early first century. It's about the sacred breaking into this world. It's about grace run amok. Those folks who were waving palm branches knew it. They knew it. Friends, today's Palm Sunday, and today we remember that first century parade. But it goes deeper than that, doesn't it? Sure. Are you familiar with Paul's words to the church in Corinth? He writes these. Let's hear these. "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." You know the mission statement of this church. The mission statement of Pleasant Grove United Methodist Church. If not, let me share it with you. We believe that this community exists right here to be the body of Christ in the world. If we don't do it, we shouldn't exist. We should be the physical presence of Christ in this world. And over the past 2 months, I've been overwhelmed by grace. The meals and the cards and the visits, the text messages, the greetings from far and wide, the prayers, the many and various ways you assisted my family. And did I mention food? Okay, good, good, good. All these acts have been extremely, extremely humbling. And I'm having a difficult time getting my mind around all that has happened. But friends, you were there. You were there. You walked with me. And that's grace. That is grace. That is a presence of God. That is a presence of the risen Christ let loose in this world through your hands. You know, we've talked about it before. But it has taken on a greater significance to me in recent days. It has been suggested by some that the vocalization of the Hebrew consonants in the divine name, also known as the tetragrammaton, is a sound of one's breathing. The meaning that with each inhalation and exhalation, we say the name of God. And this idea is closely linked to an ancient text that we find in the book of Genesis, chapter 2. We read there, "Then the Lord God formed the human from the dust of the ground and breathed into its nostrils a breath of life, and the human became a living being." You know, as I processed everything, I realized something. I realized that I have been living in one of those moments. You know, those moments in which the universe seems to stop expanding for just a moment. And the entire focus of the universe bears down on you like an ant under a magnifying glass. Those moments in which you're given a glimpse into it. A glimpse into reality. Into the way life really is. Life stripped of all pretense. Do you know that feeling? I think you do. I think you do. Well, that's exactly what happened to me. It was one of those moments. As I look back over the past 2.5 months, as the story comes into greater focus for me, as I try my best to understand what has happened in my life, as I try to get a handle on the confusing emotions that have been coursing through my soul, I find the meaning of this day. The meaning of Palm Sunday, the answer to who is this? Because of you. Because of you, the body of Christ. You breathed into me the breath of life, both literally and figuratively, as you incarnated the presence of God. Albert Schweitzer wrote these profound words at the close of his masterpiece, and you know these words. It's called The Quest of the Historical Jesus. He comes to us as one unknown. Without a name as of old by the lakeside, he came to those who knew him not. He speaks to us the same word, follow thou me, and sets us to the task which he has to fulfill for our time. He commands, and to those who obey him, whether they be wise or simple, he will reveal himself in the toils, the conflicts, the sufferings which they shall pass through in his fellowship. And as an ineffable mystery, they shall learn in their own experience who he is. Friends, over the past 2 months, I've come to a more complete realization of who he is through you. Today is Palm Sunday, the first day of Holy Week, and it's during this week that we wrestle with the question posed by the crowd, and then we go about living our lives as we attempt to make his presence known. That is the Palm Sunday challenge. Well, that's all I got. That's all I got. It may not have been good, but I didn't lose my place, and I don't think I said anything inappropriate. I hope not. So thanks be to God. Amen.